Hi, friends. Welcome to the Grace-Based Families podcast. At Grace-Based Families, we are all about helping people bring God's grace to the forefront of all areas of their lives. And this includes our lives at work. Whether you work from home, work in an office, or are running your own business, how we treat the people we work with can define the culture around us and make or break how we experience our lives at work. Our ministry is excited to be launching a great new resource called Grace at Work, a book by Tim Kimmel and Michael Tooker. Find out more about the book and pre-order at graceatworkbook.com. Now on to the Grace-Based Families podcast.
Hey, Karis.
Hey, Michelle.
How are you?
Doing great. Today, we are going to talk about 10 ways to be a great employee.
And do you mean like how we can be a great employee or teaching our kids or all of the above?
Well, what do we think? All of the above, because just like so many things, you know, we teach through the example that we set. So, yeah. You know, I think it's important as parents that, you know, if we are an employee at an establishment, that we set an example to our kids for how to do that well, especially as believers. And mm-hmm. I think it's really cool to be talking about this right now. You know, our ministry is working on a new project. Dr. Tim Kimmel, along with our friend and colleague Michael Tooker, have written a book called Grace at Work. Mm-hmm. And in this book, they've taken the grace-based model and have applied it to, you know, our work situations, because honestly, we spend so much of our lives at work. And it's just one more place where grace can really come in and make a huge difference in our life, in the lives of the people who we work with, the people who work for us, the people who we work for. So I'm really excited, you know, for that new resource to kind of come online here. We're planning to launch that book in the fall of 2022. And so, you know, keep an eye out for that, listeners. I think it's going to be a really great resource. But today, you know, we have taken this top 10 list from Raising Kids for True Greatness, but I think it ties in well with this new project that we're doing. So,
yeah,
that'd be great. We'll just go through this list with everyone. And, you know, I think we all are going to be able to relate to this mm-hmm. a lot.
I think as we were preparing for this, something that I was thinking of is a lot of the times kids go out into the workforce and they're whatever, 15 and a half, 16, and nobody's trained them or taught them how to act. Some of those like intangible things, right? Like they get on the job training. When you show up at Chick-fil-A, they're going to teach you how to make the fries and show you how to work the register. But the things that we're going to talk about today are how to instill in your kids some of those intangibles that are going to make them stand out so that they are going to be employable. People are going to want to work with them. People are going to want to recommend them for another job. Yeah. So I thought it would be fun to maybe start off and you could share a job or two that you had at a young age, or some of the funny, did you have any funny jobs? Did you have any ridiculous jobs growing up?
Well, yeah, I've had a lot of jobs as a younger person. I mean, I've been at Family Matters for almost 15 years now. Yeah. So, you know, all of my adult working life has been spent at one place, which is pretty unusual. Yeah. But prior to that, you know, when I was a teenager and in my college years, I've worked as a Starbucks barista. Mm-hmm. I have worked for a company that did staffing for parties and events. Mm-hmm. And so people would host either private parties or corporate parties, things like that. And so we were the servers or bartenders or, you know, set up the catering, serve the hors d'oeuvres, things like that. So those were always interesting because every single party was different, you know.
Yeah.
You were going to meet different people. You know, that was probably my first encounter with like skeezy drunk men. So that was a little strange as a like, you know, I think I worked for them from my junior year of high school all the way through the end of my college. Mm-hmm. Even into when I was married and had kids, I would still do a couple parties a year. But and then what else? I worked for a company that made manufactured and shipped neoprene golf club covers. Oh, like that was what they
random.
Made.
Yeah.
And so I worked in their warehouse, and I actually got my forklifts license for that job to learn how to drive a forklift, because we would, you know, have to take pallets down from shelves and pack deliveries and things like that. So
I've
had a pretty diverse, I can make you a great coffee.
Yeah.
I still know all my barista skills. I can drive a forklift, and I can bartend pretty well because I worked in all those fun jobs. What about you?
That's awesome. I feel like I started hustling when I was like 11. I was babysitting for $3.25 an hour.
Well, you always had $3.25 an hour. Man, I know parents out there wish we could still pay our babysitters but no.
That would be great. I just always was that kid. I remember reading the book, More Than a Lemonade Stand, that came out like in the early 90s, about this kid that, like, you know, made money from a lemonade stand and then took his profits and did something else or whatever. I don't remember all the details, but I was just like, I could do this. So I babysat. I worked at like a tot stop at the gym. I worked at a bagel shop, restaurants, chiropractic's office. I was a church secretary. Like, you name it, I've probably
done it. You've
done
a lot of things.
It has. It's been a good ride. And there's some good jobs and some difficult jobs out there.
Yeah.
So.
I always say, I think everyone should work in food service at least once.
Yep.
Because it changes how you treat your servers
and how you tip.
You understand, like, this is a hard job, and especially if you're the waiter, waitress, the server, you have so little control over how the experience goes for the customer. I mean, you have a little bit of control, but, you know, whether or not they like their food, whether or not it comes out hot or correctly, you know, all those things really aren't on the server's, you know, they're not the responsibility of them, and also they don't have a whole lot that they can do about those things when they happen. So anyway, I just think most people should at least spend a couple weeks as a server.
As a grunt worker.
So okay, well, the first thing that I think helps to make us great employees is that we make a commitment to love our fellow workers, especially the ones who are difficult to love.
Yes. this made me think of, I worked someplace, I will not say where, and every time I would walk into my boss's office, she was very bizarre, and she had like a little koosh ball launcher, and she would like thought it was funny to like hit you with a koosh ball, like a little rubbery toy when you'd walk in. And I remember being like, this is so weird and bizarre. But I'm just going to choose to be kind and respect her, even though I'm like, that's weird when you're a grown woman. And every time someone comes in, you're like, pew! and you're aiming like, koosh balls. I'm like, do I throw it back? Or do I just laugh? Do I set it back on her desk? Like, give her more ammo? I don't know. I don't know. There's just, I mean, that was a supervisor, but you're going to come, and your kids are going to come in contact with a lot of different folks from different walks of life. And the more that we can love different types of people, the better. And there's a lot of difficult people, and sometimes we're those people.
Sometimes we are. You know, I think, and when we say love them, we don't necessarily mean you have to like them all the time, and you don't have to put up with dishonest behavior or abuse or anything like that. But what we're talking about here is graciousness, being gracious to the people that we work with, understanding that they may be going through things that we don't completely understand. They come from different background than us. They may have different faith, different beliefs, no faith. Mm-hmm. And so in the midst of all that, we can just be an example of Jesus to them by showing them grace and love. And I don't mean that we have to be evangelizing at our work or hosting Bible studies at our workplace. Right. I mean, if you want to do that, great. But I just think the way that we conduct ourselves and our interpersonal relationships at work can really speak to the goodness of God.
Yeah, for sure. You know, another way to encourage our kids to be good employees, and for us too, is just have a good attitude towards your job. You know, sometimes you're in a hard situation, or maybe you don't particularly like your boss or your coworkers, but you can control your attitude and you right. can control your effort, and you can always be grateful for the opportunity to have a career or a job mm-hmm. or that position, because there's probably a lot of other people that would be very happy to right. come behind you. So just keeping a positive attitude, even if things are hard, goes a long way.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, showing respect and honor for your employer, your supervisors, your directors, your immediate bosses, always speak well of them and to them. Mm-hmm. You know, what we put out there about people, what we say, comes back to them. Yeah. You know, they'll hear about it. And if we speak ill of them, then that's going to start to affect our ability to have a good relationship with the people who we work for, work under, work mm-hmm. alongside. So it's just, you know, it's just good manners. And, right. you know, if there are conflicts, and there will be, it's always better to, you know, come directly to that person and to mm-hmm. deal with it that way. And that's the example that we're given in the scriptures of how to resolve, you know, conflicts and what we are to do. So,
right. I have a funny story. In college, I worked at this doctor's office, and it was a small town, and he was very respected in the community, but he would get in like laser focus work mode, and it was a busy office, and he'd have patients in different rooms, and he was a one man show, and there was probably like five of us, you know, assistants, if you will. And he would, I don't know if it was, I'm hoping it was unintentional, but he would give us like, he'd stick his head out and give us the evilest eyes and be like, get in here, you know, because he needed us to grab a ice pack or something. And you'd come in, and then you'd give him what he needed, and then he'd slam the door on you, and you're like, ow, my arm, like my shoes got in the door. Like,
what?
He was oblivious most of the time. My point is, he was like a bull in a china shop. Like he was not aware of what he was doing. I don't think he was trying to be abusive or anything like that. But we would always be like, oh my gosh, he's so mean. Like, he's like literally jamming us in the door. I think one time he even flipped us off in the front desk. We're like, what? But anyway, in that small town, we were trying to like.
This is a horrible story.
I know, but we didn't want to ruin his reputation, because okay. I don't. Outside, when he wasn't stressed, he was very kind and he was very loving. I think he just got kind of intense because he was trying to get to all the patients and whatever. Anyway, there was one side that the patient saw, there was the other side that the worker saw, and he'd get slammed in the door. My point is, it was very hard for me to respect him sometimes.
Yeah.
But I was very careful to not speak ill of him. Until I moved out of state, and now I will.
Until you shared this story
until
on
now,
on internationally yes. listened to podcast.
100.
Cool.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Great
My
story.
Point is, there's always going to be some hiccups along the way, yeah. but you just kind of be like, okay, I got to give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't think he's trying to be mean. Outside of these stressful situations, that's not his personality. I think he's just worked up right now. And so we just kind of laugh it off and move on. So, I don't know if that's right or wrong. I'm just sharing my wounds.
I might have shut his hand in the door once or twice. Be like,
I know. He was kind of like a human cartoon, like a lovable human,
like
cartoon.
A little angry, cranky man.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Well,
yep. You'll have that sometimes.
Yeah, you will have that sometimes.
I think one other thing that's personally difficult for me to do sometimes is in a work situation or even with our family, if you make a mistake or fall short of people's expectations, just to admit it. It's easy to come up with a lot of excuses or hide behind other people to blame. But really, it just shows a lot of maturity if you're able to take ownership. And I've been working a lot with that on my boys, because they're quick to be like, well, I couldn't empty the dishwasher because he was in the way. And I'm like, okay, well, your job is to do this thing. You need to take ownership right. of it and stop making excuses and stop blaming other people. And if there's a problem, you need to come communicate it. But I think ownership is a big thing in work and teaching your kids to accept ownership, even if they make a big mistake or fail badly on the job.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people are afraid of being fired. They're afraid yeah. of, you know, the consequences. But I mean, and it is always possible that when you admit a mistake that you could lose your job. But I think more often than not, your employer actually appreciates the honesty, appreciates the straightforward, you know, nature of taking responsibility. And, you know, it actually builds their respect for you rather than the other way around. So number five, never steal ideas. Be quick to give credit to the source. Has it ever happened to you that, you know, you've come up with an idea or you, you know, sort of spearheaded a project and then somebody else on your team took credit?
Yes. And it's frustrating.
Did it happen here?
No.
At Grace Based
No,
Challenge?
It did not. It did not. It happened somewhere else.
Was it me?
No. No. You're like, this is actually an intervention.
Okay.
No, it happened somewhere else. And it wasn't a big deal, but it really, I always say now, remember like in seventh grade when you did like a works cited or a bibliography and your teacher was like, cite your source.
Right.
So now even like when my husband will say a joke and I know he stole it from a comedian, I'm like, cite your source. That's not yours. Yeah. Give credit where credit's due. Because I don't like it when people take other people's ideas. Like, you can take them, but at least acknowledge where you got them
from. Right, right.
So that has happened to me. How about you?
Yeah, it has. It didn't happen on the job. It happened in a school setting.
Yeah.
Right? But I you lose so much respect for the person that does that. It just feels icky.
Right.
Even if it's a small thing.
Yeah.
Because you think, well, if they'll do it about the small thing, they would do it for something bigger.
Right.
And you just kind of feel shut down. And then it puts you in a position where you either out that person, you know, publicly, which is uncomfortable. And,
right.
And, you know, a lot of the time you're put on the spot. And you don't know what to do or say. But, it just feels icky. And so I just think it also builds rapport on your team, you know? So maybe a junior team member, somebody who's newer to the team, comes up with a really great idea and, you know, your whole team follows through with it. Giving that person credit, I think, is really motivating. They think, hey, when I have an idea that the team likes, they're going to take this and they're going to use it, you know, to further our goals, but they acknowledged me, they, you know, credited me for this. And I think that encourages people to share their ideas.
Right.
Because if you share your ideas and then they get shut down or somebody takes credit for it, you're like, oh, that's going to be the last time that I share my great ideas with the team, you know, if that's going to happen. So I just think overall it makes for stronger teamwork when we do that.
So. And doesn't it feel good when someone's like, hey, Michelle had this great idea of whatever, going door to door with these flyers or something. And you're like, oh, well, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it kind of just breeds, like you said, that trust in a workplace.
Yeah, that trust. And that's so important. It takes a long time to build trust and only a moment.
To
break it.
Yeah. For sure. Another idea to kind of instill in your kids is, as much as possible, encourage them to participate in the sometimes creepy, awkward social functions. And I say that from personal experience. Again, not from working here.
Okay.
But I think building rapport with people outside of the work arena, building that relationship with them, will only benefit everybody on the team.
Yeah.
I have gone to a few awkward office Christmas awkward parties, you know, around the holidays where it's like me and like the tech team, which I don't really know how to speak their language, or like the coders that enter matching funds in the database all day. And you're just like, cool. So
nice to meet you.
Yeah. You guys got any big plans for the holidays? You know, but you're like, okay, just
Bill
go
from accounting.
Yeah.
You know,
that's totally.
Sometimes has a couple too many glasses of champagne at the office party. But you
got to go. You just pay, you know, pay your dues, go put in an hour or two and then leave. Just because if you don't, I think it sends the impression that you think you're too good.
Yeah.
Right. Like I'm above these people. And that's not the position that you want to be in when people are in need or need encouragement or need a listening ear.
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's fine to have boundaries in terms of friendships at work. Like it's good to be friends with your coworkers if you can. But, you know, depending on the hierarchy, sometimes you do have to have some social boundaries if you're in authority over a person or you're supervising them. Yeah. You know, so I think all that makes sense. But at the same time, I think that we can be open and, again, gracious with the people that we work with our time and participating in things that help to build rapport.
Hi, listeners. Kelly Wirt here with Grace-Based Families. I wanted to break into this episode and tell you about a great new podcast series we're launching called the Grace at Work mini-series. This series of episodes is going to focus specifically on how we bring grace-based living into our professional lives. We spend so much of our lives at work, whether it's in the home, outside the home, or running our own businesses. And our experiences of work can define every other area of our lives, including our marriages and parenting. That's why it's so important that we talk about creating a culture of grace in our workplaces. We invite you to join us for these important conversations, and please share them with anyone in your life who could use some grace at work. Now on to the Grace-Based Families podcast.
Encourage fellow employees who are struggling. To the degree that it's, you know, within our power, we can do a lot to help people succeed.
Yeah,
I believe strongly that most people want to do well. Mm-hmm. And so if a person isn't doing well, it's not usually because they're lazy. Mm-hmm. I guess that's possible. But what I have found, even with kids, with struggling students, with people struggling to complete their tasks or do their job, there's usually some kind of a barrier there.
Yeah.
That's standing in the way of them being able to do well, whether that's something that's going on personally in their life, or if it's a lack of a skill that they need to build, mm-hmm. or maybe they are being asked to do something within a time frame that just simply isn't realistic. And so, yeah. Whether you're sort of lateral to that person in a company and they're a coworker, you can help mm-hmm. them. Or if you're supervising that person, you know, I just think communicating about those things early and often is the best course of action. You know, if you notice someone struggling, you can encourage them. If it's a personal matter, yeah. you can offer a listening ear. You could, you know, maybe bring them a special cup of coffee to just say, mm-hmm. hey, I was thinking about you and I just want you to know you're special.
Yeah.
You can offer to pray with them or for them if you feel like that's appropriate. But we can be, a difference maker in people's lives, even with yeah. little things.
No, I really appreciate you said that, because I think of The Office, the show The
yes,
Office, right?
Yeah.
Like, it is just this mixture of the most hodgepodge personalities. And I've been at places like that. And a lot of the random hourly wage jobs that our 16-year-old kids are going to be going to is that. It's just
right.
a mixture of kids, and they're coming from all different walks of life, and you never know with what they're dealing with at home.
Right.
Especially if, as kids, you know, and teenagers, and these kids might be having some severe depression, or parents are getting divorced or whatever.
Yeah.
So teaching our kids how to just have empathy for others and to try to meet the needs of others, again, with boundaries in mind.
Right.
With healthy boundaries. We're not asking you to go, you know, be the
counselor
at work
counselor,
every day.
Right, but. Because that's, that can wear on you.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we're not qualified for that. And,
right.
But I do think that just, small little acts of kindness just really go a long way. And, you know, if you are in a position to, where you're supervising or you are the boss over someone and you notice that they're struggling, really the responsibility is on us as supervisors mm-hmm. to figure out how we can help our employees do well. That's what a good leader does.
Right.
They're serving their team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really, really important.
One thing which you made me just think of is as we deal with different people that are struggling with different things or have different personalities than us, sometimes it could be really easy to talk bad about certain people or want to gossip about people in the office. There's always sometimes like a black sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in my old job, there was this particular individual, and every time she would come, everyone would stop talking and turn and pretend like they were busy because they just didn't want to get into all her mess and drama and sob stories and stuff. And so it was easy to fall into gossip about her, right? And obviously we're not supposed to be doing that. And I wanted to share a quick story that I know of this family where the husband had a very high, you know, C-suite level job, and there was talks that the company was maybe going to sell or be up for, you know, whatever acquisition. And he made some comment like, well, if it's going to sell right now, it's time to buy. Like, you and I could buy this together. Like, just a kind of comment in passing about how like he could run it better. Well, somehow that got up to the president of the company, and he was fired for something like, which he meant totally benign, just kind of like, hey, well, if they're thinking about selling, I know I'd run this place differently, kind right. of a comment yeah. in passing. And he lost his job. He was terminated immediately. And so I remember thinking, geez, they should have talked with him and realized like he's not really trying to like undercut them or mm-hmm. take the cut. Like that wasn't his intent, but really he had to be careful because ultimately his comment took himself down.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. And I think like we were talking about earlier, you know, those kind of negative things that we say are going to get back to the people. Mm-hmm. And
I think it's even worse when sometimes people gang up
right
behind their, like, let's try to see if we can take over this territory because she's not doing a good job. And if we kind of pitch it, right. people kind of team up to squeeze someone out or
shed like someone in a light. Show Survivor where
right
you try to vote someone off the island.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah. It's so malicious. It can be so cutthroat. It's like, just try to stay out of the drama.
Yeah, stay out of the fray. Well, and there are some people who just love drama. You know, they just love juicy gossip, and they're going to stir things up on purpose. And and you know, we can't necessarily control their actions, but to the extent that we can, just sort of say nope.
Yeah, squash it.
I would prefer to not talk about that. And you know, I think it's good to come up if you are facing this at work where there is a lot of drama and gossip and things like that. Come up with a couple phrases you can say mm-hmm. that are just matter of fact. They're not mean, but just matter of fact. Where if it comes up, you just say, "Yeah, I'd rather not talk about that," or "I don't like to participate in gossip," or you know, "I really like to stay positive mm-hmm. about my team members," kind of a thing. So things that you sort of practice in advance that you can just easily sort of say, shut down that conversation and still be respectful, you know, and professional. So, okay, number 9. Never take a single thing from the office that belongs to the company. Not a paperclip, pencil, stamp, a piece of paper. You know, if your company is generous on these matters, and I think a lot of companies are, you know, it makes sense to still ask the person in authority if it's right and pay for it, you know, insist on paying for it. So give back more than you're given and always turn in accurate and absolutely honest expense accounts. Like, you know, I know I've never been in a job where we really have a lot of this type of thing where there's expense accounts. I know people sometimes who are in sales, things like that, where you are taking clients out and schmoozing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have generous expense accounts. I have a story about a relative of mine. He worked at a company, and he was in sales for this company. He was very high up in the company. He was one of their best sales producers, and you know, at the end of every month or quarter or however often they did it, they would turn in expense accounts. And he was one of those guys who he was honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says in the scriptures, be honest, even to a fault, and do not change. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a let my yes be yes and my no be no kind of a guy. And so he would be very detailed with his expense account, and it would always be accurate. And a couple of the other sales guys one day came into his office to meet with him, and they said, hey, you're kind of putting some heat on us because... Yeah. You're turning in your expense account and it's always several thousand dollars less than ours. And you know, you don't have to turn in every receipt. You can kind of fudge it a little bit. And basically the rest of the sales team was fudging their expense accounts and pocketing that money. They were making thousands and thousands of extra dollars every month doing this.
Wow.
But he would turn in his accurate expense account, and accounting is starting to notice that, oh, his account I mean, he's one of the best producers, right. So it's not like he's not taking people out to dinner and doing all of the things. His is thousands of dollars less every single time. And so basically his coworkers were like, if you don't stop doing this, like, we're coming from you, for you. And he just refused. He's like, no, I'm going to be honest. And little by little, the other members of the team started to get caught in their... in their, you know,
lies
and, and stealing from the company. Yeah. And after, I think he ended up being with the company for 25 or 30 years, and he was one of the vice presidents in the end, and he moved up through the ranks. And I love to share that story with my kids because it's just an example of him deciding, even if I lose my job, even if my coworkers try to oust me, I'm not going to be dishonest. To compromise my values for this. I'm going to be honest. And it was a situation where, in the end, it paid off for him.
That's
you know,
awesome.
He was rewarded for his honesty and for his loyalty to the company and for his accuracy and his detailed record keeping. You know, and at the end of the day, he could show, hey, here's all the records. Here's all the receipts. Everything adds up.
That's awesome. So, you know what? You just reminded me, the same thing happened to me when I was working at a restaurant. There was four girls on as like cocktail servers or whatever in the bar area, and we would all pool our tips together at the end of the night. And I was always the lowest. And I thought, man, I'm really friendly. Like, I stay on top of, like, filling waters, bringing people's food. Like, I don't understand. Like, I always get my 20% tip. Like, what? Mm-hmm. And I was always bringing in, like, $100 less a night. And finally, they're like, why aren't you making as much as us? Because I was lowering their average every night when we pool all of our funds and then divide it four ways. I'm like, I don't know. And then one girl said, well, you know, when people pay in cash, you just pocket that. I'm like, wait, what? That's what you're doing? That would have even faced me. Somehow, I can't remember, but somehow if they had an open ticket and it was $20 for, you know, two burgers and two Cokes and they'd leave 25, she would just close out that ticket as like a oops, accidentally, you know, they left or they decided not to eat here or canceled the order kind of a deal.
Interesting.
And she would pocket the $25.
Well, yeah.
Apparently everyone was doing this. I'm not even smart enough to think of that, nor would I. And I was like, oh, yeah, no. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I'll let you know if I'm going to. Anyway, they cut me out of the pooling because I wasn't carrying my weight because they would bring in like $100 more each.
And you would lower their average.
I would totally lower their average. But I was like, that is so wrong. Like, and that's me being so judgy. But I was like, I'm good. Like, I can't sleep at night knowing I'm literally just taking money out of the restaurant's pocket. But I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't make it to CEO or president of the restaurant.
Yeah, you
company,
didn't.
But hey, oh, well, it worked out.
But I think dishonesty like that happens a lot.
Yeah.
And as believers, we're called to a different standard. Mm-hmm. And it's not about being judgmental of other people as much as it is about our own conscience and our own heart.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's super important.
And the last thing I think we can do as employees ourselves and encourage our kids to do is work hard to, I would say, hustle, right? Work hard to improve your position in the company. I think if you work at a restaurant and you're a dishwasher and you aspire to be a bus boy or whatever that's called now, I don't even know. There's
busser, maybe?
Busser, yeah. Not bus boy anymore. Great. And then from there, try to encourage your kid to become a server. And then maybe from there, or whatever the chain looks like up the ladder. But in the meantime, don't complain about being a dishwasher. Don't complain about your pay. You're in this tier or bracket or whatever for a reason and a season. But if you're hardworking and you have good attitude and you have good effort, that's going to be recognized. And if you're a kid with good reputation, you're on time, you're honest, you're nice to work with, you're not getting complaints from customers or peers, you're eventually going to move up the ranks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and even if you don't, I think it just is good skills for life, you know, to try to look at your position and go, how can I make this more efficient? Mm-hmm. How can I be a better, more efficient worker? And it's hard sometimes because when you do that, sometimes you feel like you're basically rewarded with more work. you know,
right.
if you're efficient at your work and at your job, you get rewarded with more work. And I don't think there's anything wrong with going through the proper channels to ask for a raise if you're doing a lot more in your position or your position expands. I know that's something for me, you know, in at Grace Based Families over the last 15 years, you know, what I started here doing has expanded and expanded and expanded over time. You know, and my compensation has changed with it, but that's appropriate.
Right.
So we're not saying never ask for a raise or anything, but it's what we are saying is don't complain about your pay. Don't make it negative, but if it's appropriate, yeah, it's fine to go to your boss and say, hey, here's how this has changed and here's what I'm doing above and beyond what I was doing before. I think it would be appropriate to be paid more, and then accept what they say, you know, graciously. And again, these are really good skills that we can model for our own kids. And I think it's going to set them up to be in a position to be a good employee. Like I said, you know, we spend so much of our lives in our work, whatever that is. And it can, you know, just having these attitudes makes it a better experience for us. And I know it makes it better for the people around us. So,
Well, to hear about Grace at Work, our new book that will be coming out in the fall of 2022, you can go to our website and on there we'll have a link to our book launch page. So you can sign up to pre-order this book, Grace at Work, by Dr. Tim Kimmel and Michael Tooker, and it will be how to instill even more of the grace-based message into your work environment.
Yeah, getting more out of work than just a paycheck, you know, because there is so much more to it than that. So thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you. If this has been helpful to you, please share this podcast with your friends. Subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to your podcasts on. It helps people find our podcast, and that is helpful. And, you know, leave us a review, rate the podcast. That also helps people who are searching to find it. So we appreciate you. You can reach us at family@gracebasedfamilies.com.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Based Families podcast. This is part of Grace Based Families Ministry.
For more resources, check us out on gracebasedfamilies.com/podcast or stream us on all major podcasting platforms.
Once again, this is Karis
and Michelle.
Until next time.